Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading in Srimad Bhagavatam the story of how Krishna rescues his teacher's son. And we've read up to the point where he's now enrolled in school at Sandipani Muni's and beginning to learn all kinds of different things. So we're in text 35 and 36. Sarvam nara vara sheshto, sarva vidya pravartako, sukrinigada matrina, tausanda grahato kripa, aho ratrais titurshasya, samyato taviti kalaha, guru dakshinayacharyam, chandayam asaturnipa. Questions? Sarvam, everything. Naravara, a first class min. Shreshtha, the best. Sarva, of all. Vidya, branches of knowledge. Parvartako, the initiators. Sakrit, once. Nigada, being related. Matrina, simply. Bay, Sanjagratau, fully assimilated. Nipa, O King Parikshit. Aha, in days, Ratrai, and nights. Chatur Shashtya, 64. Samyatao. Fixed in concentration. Tavatihi. That many. Kalaha. Arts. Guru Dakshinaya. With the traditional gift for the spiritual master before one leaves him. Acharyam. Their teacher. Chandayam. Asatu. They satisfied. Ripa. O king. Translation. O king, those best of persons, Krishna and Balaram, being themselves the original promulgators of all varieties of knowledge, could immediately assimilate each and every subject after hearing it explained just once. Thus, with fixed concentration, they learned the 64 arts and skills in as many days and nights. Therefore, O king, they satisfied their spiritual master by offering him Guru Dakshina. Purport. The following list comprises the 64 subjects mastered by Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram in 64 days. Additional information may be found in Srila Prabhupada's Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord's learned Gitam, singing, Vadyam, playing on musical instruments, Nrityam, dancing, Nakyam, drama, Alekyam, painting, Visheshaka Chedyam, painting the face and body with colored unguents and cosmetics. Tandula Kushuma Bali Vikaraha, preparing auspicious designs on the floor with rice and flowers. Pushpastaranam, making a bed of flowers. Dashana Basananga Ragaha, coloring one's teeth, clothes, and limbs. Mani Bhumika Karma, inlaying a floor with jewels. Saya Rachanam, covering a bed. Udaka Bhajam, ringing water pots. Udaka Gataha, splashing with water. Chitra Yogaha, mixing colors. Malya Gratana Vikalpaha, preparing grease. Shekharapida Yojanam, setting a helmet on the head. Nepatya Yogaha, putting on apparel in a dressing room. Karnapatra Bandaha, decorating the earlobe. Suganya Yukitihi, applying aromatics. Bhushana Yojanam, decorating with jewelry. Aindrajalam, jugglery. Kauchumara Yogaha, the art of disguise. Hasta Lagvavam, sleight of hand. Chichat Shakupa Bhaksha Vikara Kriyaha, preparing varieties of salad, bread, cake, and other delicious food. Panaka Rasa Ragasava Yojanam, preparing palatable drinks and tinging troughs with red color. Suchi Vaya Karma, needlework and weaving. Sutra Krida, making puppets dance by manipulating thin threads. Vina Damaruka Vadyani, playing on a lute and a small X-shaped drum. Prahilika, making and solving riddles. Pratimala, capping verses or reciting poems verse for verse as a trial of memory or skill. Durvachaka Yogaha, uttering statements difficult for others to answer. Pushtaka Vachanam, reciting books. And Nati Kakyayika Darshanam, enacting short plays and writing anecdotes. Krishna Balaram also learned Kavya Samasya Puranam, solving enigmatic verses. Patika Vetra Bhana Vikalpa, making a bow from a strip of cloth and a stick. Darku Karma, spinning with a spindle. Dakshanam, carpentry. Vastavidya, architecture. Rupya Vatna Pariksha, testing silver and jewels. Dhatu Vadaha, metallurgy. Mani Raga Gyanam, tinging jewels with various colors. Akara Gyanam, mineralogy. Vrikshayur Veda Yogaha, herbal medicine. Mesha Kukuta Lavaka Yuda Vidhi, the art of training and engaging rams, cocks, and quails in fighting. Shuka Sharika Pralapanam, knowledge of how to train male and female parrots to speak and to answer the questions of human beings. Utsadanam, healing a person with ointments. Keshamarjuna Koshalam, hairdressing. Akshara Mushtika Katam, telling what is written in a book without seeing it and telling what is hidden in another's fist. Nachita Kutarak Vikalpaha, fabricating barbarous or foreign sophistry. Desha Bhasha Gyanam, knowledge of provincial dialects. Pushpa Shatika Nimitta Gyanam, knowledge of how to build toy carts with flowers. Yantra Matrika, composing magic squares, arrangements of numbers adding up to the same total in all directions. Dharana Matrika, the use of amulets. Sambhachyam, conversation. Manasi Kavya Kriya, composing verses mentally. Kriya Vikalpaha, designing a literary work or a medical remedy. Chaltitaka Yogaha, building shrines. Abhidhana Kosha Chanda Gyanam, lexicography and the knowledge of poetic meters. Vastra Gopanam, disguising one kind of cloth to look like another. Dutta Vishesham, knowledge of various forms of gambling. Akarksha Krida, playing dice. Balaka Kridhanakam, playing with children's toys. Vanayiki Vija, enforcing discipline by mystic power. Vajayiki Vidya, gaining victory. And Vaitaliki Vija, awakening one's master with music at dawn. So Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, and he even enjoys school, believe it or not. I know I didn't have too much of an enjoyable time in school, especially on the learning part. But here you can see that there's such a variety of things that Krishna learned. Pretty amazing. I don't think I even pronounced half of them right. I only know what half of them are, probably. I know the carpentry, that's about it. Amazing amount of things that they learned. Actually, I think any of the greatest avant-garde fine art schools in America or the world would not have a curriculum such as this by any means. And so we get an insight of some of the subjects that Krishna Balaram learned while he was at the Gurukula. And yesterday we heard of some of the other ones, a little bit more of the rigid ones, but these are more in the arts and crafts division. And most of those who have worked in arts and crafts, like Adi Dave and other people like that, studied arts and crafts. You don't make a lot of money in that profession, if you make any at all, but it's a lot of fun, right? But Krishna didn't have to worry about a profession making money. He had other business to do, more important business to do. And in learning these things, his most important thing was that it was to give pleasure to his devotees. You can see that so many of them are different skills that he has in reciprocation with the other devotees in a pleasing, wonderful way. Actually, the Brahma Samhita describes these same 64 arts. And it says that they're actually the ingredients of rasa that made up Krishna's whole place of enjoyment between the devotees. All these different things came together to kind of help display the Lord's sportive proclivities. Krishna definitely is a sportive fellow. And he needs so many different things going on to take part in that. And so this is where he got them, from his Gurukula, from learning all these wonderful things. And if you look at the ingredients, most of them are just from the land around where he lived. All the unguents and the coloring and the flowers and the animals and so many different things, the gems, no geeky stuff was necessary. It was just all natural ingredients, pretty much. Nothing had to be imported. Nothing had a million thousand parts you had to worry about. I was listening to a lecture, and Papa was saying how the Ford company was telling Papa, the Ford company has a parts division with 10,000 parts in it. And Papa said he was just not impressed, to say the least. More things just to break down. But here, these are all natural elements around the area where they lived. And it was all meant to decorate and embellish these different pastimes of Krishna. There were other departments of crafts that were mostly for entertainment. You can see the learning jugglery and all these little different kind of competitive games and guessing games and things like that are described here. And then there's also the linguistic department. Somehow or other, Krishna really liked word jugglery, and he had so many different word kind of battles with the gopis, with Lalita's, sharp tongue and Vishaka's, wit and everything. And then, of course, Srimati Radharani, her ability to juggle words around and to make sarcastic comments and everything else just heightened Lord Krishna's pleasure to the utmost. And so here you can see that he learned so many different things of poetry and how to do things with words. This little matrix of words, of them all ending up with numbers all ending up in the same thing. That would be interesting to see. I know the Six Goswamis also, they had some special poetry that all ended up in different ways. It all met. Someone showed it to me one time. It was just amazing how they could think of all these things. So these arts were present. It's actually described also in the Brahma Samhita that many of these were, some of these were seen on the planet in Dwarka and Mathura and Gokul. But the ones that weren't visible could be visible in the Vrindavan pastimes. But in Goloka, all these different arts and everything are actually visible all the time. So some of them we are a little bit familiar with, very little bit familiar with, but they're pretty amazing, especially to think that Krishna learned them all in one day. With one sitting, he learned that whole art, metallurgy, in one sitting. So all the students at UF can eat their hearts out that they could learn a subject in one day. They could be through the college program, in about a week or so. You could be out of there, right, and know everything, get all your degrees. But not possible. This is God's position, Krishna's position. But actually, Krishna had to step out of his God shoes, and he had to throw off his shoes, and he went barefoot. He went barefoot into Sandipani's ashram, became very submissive, about the carrying the wood and begging alms and learning all these different things. We can see that he changed his mood, and we can relish that mood now, seeing how he became a so-called student, although all these things were generated from his mastermind. Traditionally, the young boys would leave home at 5 years old and be sent to the Gurukula. And many times they were couples, like Sandipani Muni and his wife. Anybody know her name? I don't think I ever heard it. But anyway, they would be couples that would take in these boys, and they would stay there 20 years sometimes, learning all these different things and being raised in character also, and strengthening their vows, their celibacy, their brain substance, and their habits getting very strong in their spiritual and also material ways. They would be instructed that way. And so here, Krishna and Balaram, they graduated very quickly, but they were the exception. I visited the Mayapur school last year, and I was pretty impressed. They actually follow a very nice model of the Gurukula system, and I had tour and saw all the boys and everything and how simply they were living. And I asked a lot about the success of the program. They said that actually, you know, they haven't had too many people go through the whole school, but many of them stayed on. They just wanted to stay there. They liked the simple life, and they became actually teachers in their own way and became very responsible in their duties there. And they just liked it. So this is wonderful. I wish we had more of these schools. Of course, I said, what do you think the success of your school is? And he said, it's because more or less we're isolated from all the outside influences that sweep the students, you know, in this day and age away. You can see it's kind of the opposite. You go to school here, you're mixed co-ed, especially in the teenage years when all the senses are at their utmost. And many of them get swept away. They can't concentrate, they can't focus, they get bad habits, pretty much the opposite of a gurukula. And they come out agitated instead of satisfied and ready to, you know, take on responsibility. They actually become very irresponsible and don't really know what they're going to do with their lives. Here the subjects that Prabhupada recommended for our gurukulas were, you know, some English and math, a little geography and history, and teeny tiny bit of science. And then Sanskrit. He always included Sanskrit in it. I don't know if that's being taught over here. Yes, great. That's wonderful. So we should try to follow those examples. Someone handed me this book, which I'd been looking for a couple of days, just before I gave class. But they put a couple of notes in here describing how Krishna and Balaram were educated. And it says that, you know, when they were little grown up, this is before they went to the Gurukula, they said that they were taking care of the calves. Although born, these are Prabhupada's words, although born of a very well-to-do family, they still had to take care of the calves. This was a system of education. Those who were not born in Brahmin families were not meant for academic education. The Brahmins were trained in a literary academic education. The Kshatriyas were trained to take care of the state. And the Vaishyas learned how to cultivate land and take care of the cows and calves. There was no need to waste time going to school to be falsely educated and later increase the numbers of the unemployed. Krishna Balaram taught us by their personal behavior. Krishna took care of cows and played his flute. And Balaram took care of agriculture activities with a plow in his hand, like he has today. And then there's one other little quote that's kind of interesting. Schooling is meant especially for Brahmins. Previously, there was no question of schooling for Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras. Kshatriyas used to learn the technology of warfare, and Vaishyas learned business from their fathers or other businessmen. They were not meant to study the Vedas. Higher education is not meant for everyone. Only selected individuals trained in Brahminical culture should be allowed to pursue a higher education. Educational institutions should not aim to teach technology, for a technologist cannot properly be called educated. A technologist is a Shudra. Only one who studies the Vedas may properly be called a learned man, a pundit. So this might go against the grain a little, but these are Prabhupada's words. He has a little bit to say about the women, because they were asking, you know, because when young ladies didn't go to Gurukula, but we did start Gurukulas, which I have a little bit of experience in having run for a few years. It says that actually females should be taught how to be faithful to their husbands, and they should learn the art of cooking and painting. 64 arts Radharani knows. Then she can control Krishna. They should learn how to cook nicely. If the girls are taught to give service to their husbands to full satisfaction, there will be no disagreement. So that might be included. This art of cooking is so important. Prabhupada mentioned it many times that a woman is worthless if they don't know how to cook. So all the young ladies should get on it and watch their mothers cook. And if not, find someone who knows how to cook and learn that art. So these are some important parts. Unfortunately, many students these days have to take all these irrelevant subjects. I talk to students on campus all the time, and I say, what's your major? And they go, well, I don't know if I'm ever going to get to it. I have to take this and I have to take that and have all these things that don't have anything to do with their course. And most of the time they change their majors once, twice. My daughter changed it twice. And so all those subjects she had to take for that other major were a waste of time. And what happens is you have to pay for it. They come away with a $30,000, $40,000, you know, debt that takes them 30 years to get rid of. And it's a shame because that part of your life is so important. You're mentally so sharp and you have to waste so much of it. And then you're stuck with a debt. This wasn't what was going on here in the Gurukula. The dakshin was given according to what the Brahmins needed. And if it was too much for the Brahmins would give it away in charity to keep them humble and peaceful. So it was a wonderful system. Not that you can't figure out what to give your teacher. You know, you end up paying the school. And I don't know what the teachers get, or you buy them a gift card because you don't really know the teacher. You have no idea who they are. But no, it was on a very personal level. Here, Krishna and Balaram are living with this couple for that amount of time. And Prabhupada also gave some instructions in Gurukula. You know, he's saying that they all aren't going to be academic material. So therefore, they should be taught, you know, other arts, farming, something like that, a very noble profession, very much needed. He encouraged them to put them in that department. Not that everyone is going to go to college. So most people want to go to college to get, you know, these extra comforts in life, to get a better job, get more technology in their home so they can be more comfortable. But really, you know, it's a compromise. You know, ultimately, with this technology, what we get, oranges now shipped from California to Florida. We grow them in Tampa, but now we get them, you know, shipped from California. It takes tons of petrol to get them here. And we get, you know, pistachios from Iran. Probably not anymore because there's war going on out there all the time. I was deplaned in Beirut in 75 for something, and we spent hours and it was like pistachios everywhere. Or else we get our clothes from Bangladesh, right? All the Walmart clothes are made in Bangladesh. Yeah, great technology, you know. Or what else we get, you know. It's not worth the compromise that we have to struggle so hard and go to so much technological and factory and fabrication to get things that are actually can be given very naturally. Like someone was telling me yesterday, they went to buy a barbell thing like this, the steel, and it comes from China, shipped from China, but we ship China the steel. So what's the point? Thousands of miles just to get something that could be made here. It's really pretty a backward situation. But, you know, we have our nice plastic items. Now they've actually made a foodstuff, margarine, which is almost plastic. Almost. So this is our advancement. But no problem, you have your debts, you got your plastic, but you have Social Security that you can lay back on and then really enjoy life, right? And then have time to do all the things you've really wanted to do, to study the things you always wanted to really study. But guess what? I just read an article. It was, government authorities are warning everyone, don't count on your Social Security too much longer. The best thing, their advice, the authoritative advice now is start saving your money and don't think you're going to get what you're going to get because it might not be enough, and you better consider selling your house, downsizing, and just get a small little place and plan on working more years. This is the advice now. So much for Social Security, very much insecure, especially for our future generations. So this is the problem. You know, we aren't training the Brahmins to give the advice to the government who is supposed to protect us. So therefore, we're not being protected. We're insecure. We lose our faith for the government. We lose our trust in the government. Nobody trusts anybody, and there's no happiness. And so this, you know, it's a chaotic situation. Whereas here it was very simple. You went to school and you know, many times you just took up the profession of your family. Very nice example. You go to Loya Bazaar, to Ganga Prasad. The fourth generation is in there now. Maybe the fifth is sitting next to them. I don't know, as babies. But the fourth is in there that I know of. And they have the same program. What they do for their money, they lift up the mat, right? Have you ever seen them? They just stuck it under the side, under the cushion. They have a little brown box for the change, wooden box. You know, simple life. And they say, oh, you know, try to go to our temple. I just donated so much money. We're doing a special festival, special prasadam. Go see. Simple life. They don't have a big fancy mansion. They give their money to the temple. Simple business. The family didn't have to spend gillions of dollars for them, the kids, to get educated. They're taking up the process and happy and spending their time in spiritual life. So some of this is still going on. Apprenticeship is very much encouraged by Prabhupada also. You can learn so much by just, you know, hanging out. Go to the kitchen, watch Shankha cook. You don't have to go to cooking school. Just go hang out on a Sunday and learn how to cook. Anybody wants to learn carpenter, come hang out with me in my workshop. I actually had one little boy come by the other day and said, can I make something? I said, sure, come on in. He had a great time. He ended up making some little thing, you know. It's a natural process, and we can see here that this is such a natural thing, this school. But Prabhupada did stress education. He wanted these institutions to be educational institutions, and especially in spiritual life. And so therefore we have, now we've expanded, thanks to persons like Janmasthami Prabhu and things like that we have higher education, and we have different schools and courses going on pretty much all year round. And Dhruva Maharaj has it now on internet. And so it's wonderful that we can expand and educate people 24 hours a day all over the world. I just got a live help message from somebody who says, you know, I really haven't been to a temple, but I'm learning this and I'm learning that, and had some questions. And so, yeah, they're learning Krishna consciousness even through the ether. So we should see that also as an important thing going on. But as far as Gurukul, it's a shame we don't have these ashrams like we used to have. There was great benefit by those. I still get some thanks every once in a while by some of our girls that went through the system that now have two kids under each arm. Yeah, thanks. I don't know how you did it. But now the weight is on the parents. Because they're not going off to the ashram for a few years. The weight is there on you guys. And also the community at large. They're watching us. The younger generation is watching us. And this is what Prabhupada wanted. Prabhupada wanted them to follow our schedule. Just to sit in on the classes, even if they're not understanding so much. Just sit in on the classes, follow our schedule. This is how we can learn. So we have to set that example. We have to come here and we have to bring our kids. We have to keep this culture alive, all these different arts and sciences. I know the first time I went to the temple, within a half hour, I was making a garland. I didn't even know what a garland was. I never really picked up flowers before or anything like that, you know. And I was pretty amazed, you know. Actually, I had two ladies come in here about a week ago after class. They came in and they looked like they'd been kind of, you know, spiritualized. They had long skirts on, maybe from some yoga group down south in Naples. They came by and I said, yeah, go on in, you know, you can just go. And they came in and I heard them first say, the flowers, I know how to make a garland, but nothing like that, you know. So they were appreciating the beautiful decorations and the culture that we keep going strong, you know, with all the different arts. And it was exciting. I remember first coming and going in the kitchen and seeing all these different things and how they cooked. And it was just like amazing experience. And then going into the first Ratha Yatra and stringing thousands of flowers and decorating a cart, you know, that was, you know, built by devotees. So it's really, I mean, we're used to it now. We've been doing it for so many years, you know, that it's just like norm. But these are definitely transcendental arts. You know, people come by the Rathara cart and go, what is this thing? What, you know, those are real flowers. What, you know, they're just amazed at some of the things that have come out of this Vedic culture. sandalwood paste. I never heard of sandalwood paste and what you do with it. And then in a few weeks, what we're going to be doing is putting it all over the deities. I never knew what it was or the purpose of it. So making jewelry and sewing, you know, it's a perfection of our home economics that we had in high school. We actually get to learn how to sew and make jewelry for the Lord now. Such a transcendental experience that one can get by just coming to this temple and staying a few days and a few weeks. Learning how to make chapatis. I remember the first time I saw puris and puffies, puffing up and things like that. It was just like, wow, where did this come from? You know, whole other world out there. And there are cities there's no culture in. I went to Jacksonville to the university and I said we were having this festival and someone says, yeah, this place, there's not a drop of culture in it. You know, we need something. We need a festival, you know. So people are starving for these arts and sciences. You see, we have this, of course, everybody knows he goes to these arts and crafts. Thousands of people come, don't they? 10,000 people come. They want something homemade. They want something made by somebody, you know, not just factory produced. They're looking for some little knickknack that they can put, you know, here or there and say, yeah, I got that. So-and-so made it, you know. Lakshmimoni's daughter goes to Africa to go to the villages. She works with cloth. She goes to the villages and brings back cloth in baskets with the person's name written on it that in the village that made it. It makes it so special, right? And so we have to let these arts come alive again in our temples and not lose them. Even like wood sculpture and art, you know, now you can't find places in India very much. You know, they don't even do it anymore. All their sons have gone to computer technology and stuff like that. So whatever we can do to, you know, to cultivate this, actually we're just with this ecological project that I'm working on is supposed to encourage is that that we are going to teach many of these different arts and crafts. In fall, we're planning a festival. If anyone would like to take part, we're hoping a whole outside community will come to see some of the different things that we can do and buy some of the homemade items and things like that. A few of these different arts are a little bit bewildering. I don't know about you, but, you know, cockfighting, I mean, that can be a pretty nasty thing. I don't know if you've ever seen one, but it's an all-out, you know, till the other one drops dead type thing. So if anyone has any enlightenment on that subject, I don't quite understand that one. And there's a few other ones that I don't really know what they are. But they're, and also someone mentioned, I think Nagaraj mentioned that Purnamasi was Sani Panimuni's mother or grandmother? Mother? So maybe Sani Panimuni actually was perfecting all these arts because Purnamasi probably knew many of these different arts herself, so maybe it was in the family, but I don't hear of anyone else being called in to teach besides him. Maybe there was. Maybe someone else was hired. I don't know, but he must have known how to do all these things. So it's pretty amazing that these were all vibrant in those days. And a little question in my brain about, it seemed like, you know, Sudama was a Brahmin, and here Krishna and Balaram were kind of more Vaishya type. So it seemed like it was a mixed group in this Gurukula, and then I guess later on you could have specialized education, I'm not sure. But I know that when I think of Karna, he said he was a Brahmin, and Parshuram took him on, but when he was had Karna's, you know, he had Parshuram in his lap. Karna was being bit by that horrible bug, and he was just, you know, biting the bullet, not, you know, just taking the pain. And then when Parshuram woke up, he said, "You're not a Brahmin, you're a Kshatriya." He was furious, and he actually cursed him till that curse gave him the death, you know, because he couldn't remember the mantras to kill Arjuna. So I don't know if this was kind of a mix of blends, it seems like. Does anybody know? Of different castes? Sandimani, it seems like he took in different things. Maybe it was higher education after that that were separated. And so then I was also thinking that hearing all these different things is very comforting, to know that when we go to the spiritual world, so much is going to be going on. There's going to be all kinds of entertainment and social activities going on. All these different arts and sciences are at their peak. Every day, something new and exciting. The diversity is going to be beyond our imagination. So, I haven't heard of any other better alternative than the spiritual world that we're hearing about, that we're headed for, hopefully. And it's also described that if we do make it out of this material cycle of birth and death, that actually we go to another place where we can get some of this training, personal training, so we can be already trained up in these arts. When you think of it, in India, some of these arts are still quite there. I mean, if you look at Radha Raman's pool bungalows made out of the inside of the bark of banana trees, all cut different ways. I mean, it's amazing what they can do. I mean, just amazing. Some of the floats, just like even if you look at the temple in Vrindavan last, where they fill up the water, the boat festival, it had like petals all in different shapes. I don't know how they did that. Was anybody there for that? I mean, they had designs all made with floating petals on top of the water. I mean, just out of this world, out of this world decorations. And if you go to a Bengali sweet market, shoo, all the thousands of preparations that they can make, all stacked and all decorated so fancy. You know, love and devotion, you know, can actually be put into all this for the Lord's pleasure, not for ours. And that's what makes it so special. Someone was tasting the feast. I was sitting with a guest, and they were saying, wow, this is just like, no, it was the workers. I took a plate of noon prasadam out on Bhaktivinoda Thakur's to the people drilling the well back here. And I didn't make them a real big plate because I thought, well, this is going to be a little strange. It was an eggplant sabji, you know, and I thought, well, I don't know. And the man immediately took it and said, what is this tomato base? I want to learn this. You know, he was like, what, how did you make this food? And the other man said, yeah, actually I came here during the University of Florida when I was in school for something. I still remember the food. So transcendental experience, if we can just get them here and show them all these different things. So even Ayurveda, this art of medicine, you can ask our doctor friend back here from San Diego. This is still, the people are getting excited about Ayurveda, all these different ways that they used to do things. It's becoming popular now. But this is old stuff for the Vedic culture, you know. So very exciting to hear all these different arts and sciences that we've been able to tap into, and hopefully learn more about, and to continue teaching and make available through this Krishna consciousness, because it does make a difference in your consciousness to think that all these different things are for the Lord's pleasure, and to help Krishna and his pleasure pastimes today, all the beautiful decorations today, so that he can enjoy with his associates. So does anyone have anything else? Not too many questions, please, about how to make a helmet and how to do the jewelry. Yes, John Austin. And if anyone have any insights on how to do some of these things, please see me. I would love to learn.
Very nice class, Mataji. I have maybe a difficult question.
Uh-oh.
But I'm going to shoot it anyway.
Okay.
You dedicated many of your years of your devotional career to Gurukul education. I'd like to be interesting to hear your analysis of why, you know, it really hasn't worked as Prabhupada wanted it to, and, you know, how, you know, as a
technology
movement.
To tell you the truth, with the internet and the cell phones, that more or less terminated our Gurukul. Because of the isolation, we couldn't isolate them from the outside influences, which is really needed when you're separating boys from girls and trying to keep them peaceful and try to filter what comes in. We couldn't filter it. It was too much of being an FBI agent all day.
Too much of a?
FBI agent all day. Okay, put all the cell phones here, you know, and do this, and who's on the computer? We had a net nanny, I remember, some device, to control that. It just, the influence is just so heavy, and we're just like, okay, if you don't want it, forget it. And then no one wanted to take it up. We were willing to give the school to other people, but no one wanted to touch it. Because it's very difficult. Material energy is so difficult. And if you can't keep it out somewhat, and if you can't dovetail it, I mean, we did a lot of dovetailing and stuff like that, but at some point, it becomes a struggle. It becomes a big struggle.
I have part two.
Okay.
It's a natural flow. So how to actually implement it so that it works?
Isolate it. Like in my part, they're having success. They're allowed to use a computer once a week, and their communication is somewhat limited. I mean, they can communicate, but it's really the only way that I can see. The blend is dangerous. I mean, we tried at one time to do something that the parents wanted us to do because it was thought it would be beneficial, but we knew Prabhupada didn't, it wasn't on the checklist for Prabhupada. We tried it, disaster. We almost had to close the school because of it. So if you really want to do what Prabhupada says, Prabhupada and Guru Kula, it just doesn't seem like anybody's willing to give their kids to such a standard that Prabhupada wanted. I guess people aren't thinking it's practical, and people are thinking that their comfort zone of living very simply is impeded. It's just difficult. We're a little bit spoiled, too.
Bert?
Do you have any suggestions?
I have a comment.
Okay.
Okay.
He said it was due to the failure of the self-sufficient farm communities that Prabhupada wanted.
More or less the same thing, yeah. That's where he wanted the children and the women and the education to go on.
Because the output from the Gurukul would go into that, and because it didn't exist, the motivation wasn't so strong, amongst leadership.
So our view over here is what we're trying to do is to give them a taste, and then to offer like afternoon and summer curriculum on all these different things, and for adults also, we're trying to make that available, and hopefully it'll develop to where it could be that type of a atmosphere again.
You mentioned how Prabhupada said that ladies should be trained in painting and cooking. Mm-hmm. On another occasion, Srila Prabhupada said, if the ladies just learn these two things, they will get a good husband. And the first one was chastity, how to be chaste. And the second one was how to cook nicely. So I was thinking, in our modern society, it seems like the ladies are highly trained in two things: how not to be chaste, how to be unchaste, and how not to have to cook so much, how to prepare food without having to cook so much, something like that. Yeah. So it's just, I always try as much as I can to encourage anybody, parents or anybody who's who has the power to do so, to encourage these young girls in those two things, chastity and cooking. It's so important. My gosh, it's so highly important. Yeah. And then, even 30 years ago when we were going to school, they had home economics, yeah, and they understood the importance of it. And these days they don't so much. Yeah. It's just absurd.
And even in India, usually the breakfast is one of the main meals, and there would always be your dosha or your paratha, and now Kellogg's company has come over and now they have quick cereal, and so that whole social gathering of getting together and having that nice home cooked meal early in the morning, it's fading out also by our great American influence. Yes.
Well, I have a question. We have Gurukula here, but it's girls' Gurukula. And you mentioned that
Prabhupada
said the boys should be go, but mainly they are girls, especially in higher grades.
But I think it's co-ed, isn't it? It's just the poor little boy that was there got
They're just few boys, actually. Yeah. They're mainly girls, especially if you look 6th, 7th
yeah,
grade.
Well, hopefully, I guess it'll the boys will enter in there as they get older, I guess. But you need more than one. I think that it was just one, and he felt a little outnumbered. But hopefully, yeah, well, it definitely should be boys.
And then when they grow up and they are looking for a qualified husband and there is nobody coming from Gurukula, I mean, what?
That's Prabhupada said it was a problem. Actually, one unfortunate conversation I heard in our Gurukula, one girl was, I never really encouraged them to go to higher education, the women, I mean the girls in our school, but their parents say, well, you know, I got to send my girls to college to get a degree and to be able to do something because their husbands are going to probably fall down, so they're going to have their jobs, their life together. And I thought, oh, great. Something's going wrong here. Yes. Shesha Prabhu, he has all the answers.
Hare Krishna. You ask about different training and things like that. They're mixed. You said there's Krishna and Balaram and Sudama. Well, our understanding, based on Prabhupada's instructions, was that Gurukula, where they would be mixed like this, would go up to like around 11 or 12, and then Varnashram College would follow that.
That's
and that's where you get the individualized training.
Yeah, that's true.
And
Thank
then the, just the other quick comment about the boat festival in Vrindavan. My understanding is that they tie strings across and then fill the sections that are created by the strings
so
with
they don't
different
float fire, over.
So they don't float together, so you get a pattern on the water like that.
So tying strings is also an art.
Yes,
yeah,
it's an art.
Fire
out. Well, then they mix it up.
Fire out.
Actually, Sandipani Muni, he was a Kala Guru, means he taught arts. That was his specialty.
Mm-hmm.
When Krishna was in Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj, they had some worry about all the demons coming. So they asked Bhagari Rishi to give him mantra initiation or give him name initiation, nam initiation. So Bhagari Rishi actually gave him the name Narayan to chant. But later on, when Krishna would chant this name, he was telling to the gopis when he would meet with them, you know, they asked him, what's your greatest desire? So obviously he told my greatest desire is to meet with Radhika. He said, oh, well, then you should chant that name. So he stopped chanting Narayana and started chanting Radhika. Later on, when he got to Mathura, at that time, Vasudev and Devaki told Gargarishi to give him Upanayan Samskar, give him Diksha and to give him thread and everything. He remembered that he promised to Mother Yashoda, when I take my Upanayan Samskar and I have to go out and beg, that the first person I would come to would be you. So after that initiation happened, they became some morose, Krishna and Balaram, because obviously Mother Yashoda was not there. So then they said they wanted to go to the school of Sandipani Muni because they knew him to be the son of Purnamasi Devi. In that way, by learning the arts from Sandipani Muni, they could talk Harikata to each other, Krishna and Balaram, and remember their pastimes in Vrindavan. So this is why they went to Sandipani Muni. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And over here, one, the last one, Madhavan.
Thanks, it was such a sweet class. I just want to say that it seems natural for us now that we are growing a little bit older to understand and to have this wisdom of things. But for young kids, they still want to do other things. I mean, even Gurukul is my own son. He has his children, and he wants his children to be very intelligent and intelligent and trained in things, you know. He's so proud that my grandchild is in second grade math already, which is not bad. But what I'm saying is they want to send them to schools where they get trained as, just like you say, in class, not first class, but, you know, technology. On the other hand, the good news is that some kids are being attracted to, you know, and interested in being chaste and being more Krishna consciousness. Not all of them. But a girl this week, she called me and she asked me if I could teach her a cook class. So give her a cook class. I said, yeah, sure. So it was only one girl and she came and we spent 1 hour or two. But yeah, we have to prepare because now we kind of know. Now we kind of know what's best, right? So we have to be prepared to give them what we should, you know, what Prabhupada wanted. Because otherwise there is no facility, so they go around doing other things.
So as much as possible, we should make ourselves available. Jai Shri Baba Ki Jai.